Well, good morning to you all. It's great to welcome you to our service today, those that are here, as well as those who are at home, as we share together and look at God's Word, as we sing praise, and as we help one another in our worship today. So it's good to have you all, and we pray that the Lord will bless us in this way this morning. We're going to begin, as we have done for a little while, in reading a verse of scripture together, and you will follow that on the screen behind me. It's Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and this morning we begin our Advent series as we share together on something of these great events celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 is that great prophecy into the moment that Jesus actually is who he is. And so let's read this verse together as we do so. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Well, he's all of that and more beside. And we're going to continue in our worship, thinking on this Advent theme as Jenny and Kay lead us in our first hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We'll just remain seated and follow the words on the screen. But I encourage you, do engage with those words. You can sing behind your mask if a little quietly, but just, you know, at least hum away there if you wish. But let's engage in these great truths that we find in this hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Well, let's continue together as we share in worship. I'm going to lead you as we pray. Let's pray. Our gracious God in heaven, we do bow before you this morning in praise and worship of you, our great and glorious Creator God. You are the awesome one. You are the sustainer of all things. And we acknowledge today our total dependence upon you and you alone. Every atom, every element, and every compound of this world lives and breathes the facts of who you are. And so we come and we adore you. Not the beauty of an amazing world, although it is, but the one that has put it all in place. We bow in your presence, Heavenly Father, and we worship you. Lord God, we come and we confess our need of you today. We are those who have sinned in thought and in deed and in word, but there is mercy with you. And so we repent of our sin. We throw ourselves upon you, and we know your amazing grace. For it is by grace that we've been saved through faith. It's not our own doing. It is the gift of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your great gift. Lord God, we do pray for the day in which we are living, and particularly with the ongoing challenges. And so we would continue to pray for our government to make right and wise decisions within their capacity. We pray for our health professionals as they go about their daily task of caring for patients, for people, for one and another. We pray for many other workers who are endeavouring to facilitate us at this time with all that we need. But we thank you too, Heavenly Father, for the news of the vaccine. We thank you for wisdom given to men and women who can provide for our medical needs. We do recognize their gifting, their expertise, their knowledge. But we want to give you the glory this morning, for you are the one that makes provision for humanity, even the provision of brilliant minds, so that they can do something which has been little done before. And so we thank you for that. Maybe many won't come and praise you, but we will this morning, not because we're any better, not because we are somehow improved in such a way to see these things. We can see these things, but we do them and see them rather because of grace. Your kindness to us as a world, we do praise you. But we do pray for our Christmas period that is upon us. We think of the carol event tomorrow over Zoom, Christmas at home with the ladies as they gather in their homes, as they connect in this way. Lord, we pray that that will be a good evening and an enjoyable time. We pray for those who of our number who are continuing in care or possibly hospital or other areas where they're being looked after. For those who have increasing health problems, and for those who are caring for them, Lord God, come and be alongside of them today and minister into their lives. Gracious God, help each and every one. We thank you that you are the one that if a sparrow falls in our back garden, you know all about that. And if you do know about that, then you know more about us. We worship you. We do pray, Father in heaven, for the family of Flo Smith as they prepare for the funeral service, God willing, next Monday. We pray, our Father, that you will help them and help us as we speak in that moment, that we'll be clear in everything that needs to be said. We do pray, our Father, for the area that we're living in, the area that we are identifying with as a church, and we pray for the Christmas card that has been distributed over these past few days. Lord, we pray that you will just use that to cause people to stop and think about what is the true meaning of Christmas and this time. And we pray for opportunities with our family and our friends to be able to share likewise and speak into their lives the great and good news of King Jesus. Now we ask that you'll help us as we share in your word and its teaching. Lord, lift our hearts that we may know the hope that you alone can bring. And we ask it all in your name and for your sake. Amen. Well, just a few things before we read the Bible, and that is, as we prayed, tomorrow evening is the ladies' Christmas at home event. You will have received a link for that. If you want to share it with your family and friends, then please do so. And that will be, all the details, of course, are on the email or the WhatsApp. Log in tomorrow, and I hope we trust it will be a good evening. It's not what we normally do. Normally, this place decked out and desserts. The men are all dressed up serving. It's not going to happen this year. It'll be different, but we pray that it'll be good and it'll be an encouragement. And so be part of that tomorrow if you are able. Then, of course, do remember the family of Flo Smith, as we will be here next Monday for the funeral service at 1 o'clock. I think it's 1 o'clock. I'll confirm that. But do be praying for that. And then Christmas morning, we are having a recorded service. So, and some people have already recorded kind of Christmas greetings. And Graham has those on a little video clip, and he will incorporate them into the recorded service. So if you're going to do that, then you must do it this week. Send it in to Graham, and that will become part of our service on Christmas morning. So next Sunday, we are going to have the normal morning service here, and then immediately following that, there'll be a little kind of a breather break, we're going to actually record Christmas morning service. So if you are here next Sunday, it would be great if you could stay so that we could record the Christmas morning service. So I'm not just talking to a camera and the folks at home, though that's going to be important, but I'm going to be having a body of people here with me. And there'll be one or two people who will be reading and just taking part in that way. It'll be quite minimal. But so that'll be next Sunday. We're going to be doing that. So if you stay for that and you are part of the Christmas morning service, in that case, the recorded version, it doesn't mean that you can't watch it on the television on the 25th. In fact, you must watch it on the 25th. So we can all share together on that morning. But next Sunday is when we're going to record it. So great if you could stay behind and be participants in that. I think that's everything I've got to say. I want us to read in our Bibles just now. We're going to read from Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. This is the narrative surrounding the birth of Moses. And we're going to give that some thought this morning. It's Exodus chapter 2, and it's verses 1 to 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young woman walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." There's one thing that has become more pronounced over these months, and it's the need of hope. Government briefings and big presentations tend to end with the Prime Minister invariably saying, there's light at the end of the tunnel, there's hope ahead for us all, there is a way out. There might not be a way out of Brexit, as they continue to talk about that, but there seems to be a way out of this virus. And that's been given a boost with the creation of a vaccine, effective potential among the population. So there is hope. And that's the message that we need to hear, in a sense. You see, our lives need that focus, not just in a virus, but our lives do need some kind of hope. It's a salutary fact that over 5,500 people took their own lives in England and Wales in 2019. People who, for whatever reason, could see no way forward. There was no hope. No way out. In this year, we faced challenging times, I guess, but we have hope. But for all of that, our hope is still limited. Anything can go wrong, and sometimes does. Our Advent theme this year is reflected in the Christmas card that we've delivered to some of the streets, that hope is born. And what we're going to do is develop that theme by looking at three births in the Bible. We're going to start with Moses today. Then, God willing, next Sunday morning, we're going to think about Samuel. And then, well, there's no prizes for guessing what we're going to look at on Christmas Day. Of course, the birth of Jesus. It's a general rule that the birth of a child is welcomed as defining celebration of optimism and hopefulness. Kind of reflected in the song that you hear sung at this time of the year. It's a crooner's delight. I won't croon it to you. But it goes like this, doesn't it? A ray of hope flickers in the sky. I feel like singing it. A ray of hope flickers in the sky. A tiny star lights up way up high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. It's this hope of something that will be celebrated and given blessing within a family home, within a community, yes, within a nation. Well, the Bible will celebrate birth. The big storyline of its narrative is that each one of the births that we have in the Bible noted is hope-filled. And all pointing to the most hope-filled of births, which is Jesus. It's interesting when you look at the book of Genesis, how does it begin? It begins with new life, creation, hope and blessing. And where does it end? It ends with death, the death of Joseph. All started off bright, ends in darkness. Exodus begins, yes, there's death, but it actually begins with birth, the birth of Moses. There's new hope appearing on the scene. Well, today we're going to look at that birth, starting with Moses. We're going to have the same 3 points for the next three sermons. There'll be a slight variation. I'll let you find out what that will be as we get to it. So the first thing that we're going to think about today is that it's a day of challenge. That's a day that Moses and his family are living in. The people have been in Egypt, that is the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes, have been in Egypt for 400 years. When they went down at first, it was just the family of Joseph. There was a fairly significant grouping of people, but it was fairly small. But of course, over 400 years, as they've been living as a community in the vastness of Egypt, they've grown and grown and grown and multiplied in number. Pharaohs, that's the ruler of the day, have come and gone, have been, by and large, mostly accommodating and kind, because there's the story of Joseph that was so helpful to Egypt in the day that he was alive. But there's now a Pharaoh that is ruling the land, and due to the increase in numbers of this Jewish people, the Hebrew people, their number, their wealth, he's feeling threatened. He's feeling threatened by these people. And so there's a kind of a government crackdown on the Hebrew people. It escalates in its severity as infanticide is adopted. All the boys that are born to the Hebrew families are to be killed. They're going to be thrown into the river Nile. Can you imagine? It's just a grotesque picture to throw the child into the middle of the river. There, thrashing around would be its natural response, but eventually it's just going to drown in the river. A grotesque, horrible, and vicious policy. And once again, we just see what humanity is capable of. And there's enough atrocities in our own day to know that equivalent wickedness is never too far away. Just read the news, watch the news, and you can see what's happening in other parts of the world to children, to families, as horrible, grotesque governments go about what they do. Here, it's a very challenging day. It's a difficult day. It's a gloomy and dark day. But it's a day of faith. That's the second thing that we're going to talk about. It's a day of challenge, but it's a day of faith. I think it's a general comment when an older generation might say, I wouldn't want to raise my children in this day. Whether it's during the wartime, you know, when the bombings are going on. I wouldn't want to raise my children now. It's so dangerous. Whether it was the promiscuous 60s raising a family where it was all about apparently free love or whatever that meant and all sorts of things going on. Whether it was the Cold War era. I wouldn't want to raise my children then. However, you won't remember what the Cold War era was like, but of course the nuclear power nations were rising in their influence, and there was the danger. I can remember government information films which kind of indicated if a nuclear bomb hit, this is what you were to do. And I think the bottom line was you got under the kitchen table. I guess it was a little bit more sophisticated than that. But there was, that kind of was the message. I wouldn't want to raise my children in the 70s with all that going on. The reality is that every age brings its fresh challenge. And it has to be faced and has to be lived through. So today, it could be said of our day, some might say, I wouldn't want to raise my children today. When the strong message of the culture is so contrary to the ethical, moral, and spiritual teaching of the Bible, everything in our Western community seems to be prevailing against what the Bible will teach. You've got to raise your children within that environment. You've got to bring gospel truth into that situation. And it's the vast information that's out there is going against that time and again. It might seem that in our generation, it's hard for faith to shine. It's a challenging day, but it is, and it is a day of faith. You're here expressing trust in God. Well, in the day of Moses, how hard was it then? Well, in terms of the infanticide and the oppression, it was significantly hard. Maybe their challenges were far more serious than ours. But we've got a family here who are trusting God in the darkest of moments. When the New Testament makes a commentary on this moment, it does so in terms of seeing the parents and how they looked after their child. In the book that Graham preached on last week, Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read this. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. It's amazing, isn't it? What a spirit that we've got there in this unnamed mother and father at this point. It's not that these people were super strong. They're just trusting God in a remarkably difficult day. Faith is shining. Now, we might not be called to face such a situation that these parents face, but it's still a day of faith. The challenges may be different, but are we going to be individuals, families, churches that will trust God in the midst of all of our contemporary questions? You see, these unnamed parents are simply believing in the living God who's committed to them no matter what. This is a bright light in a dark sky. This is a day of darkness, but this is a suggestion of hope. I put it to you this morning, where is your hope today? Your trust needs to be in the living God, the unchangeable one, the one who's committed to his people no matter what. Even when death itself faces you, here is the brightness of confidence. So let us, you and me this morning, hold resolutely to the one who has total control and absolute power. The one who's interested in you and me. And if we're part of his great family, then we will know that sustaining care of a living God. It's a day of faith. The last thing is that it's a day of deliverance. Well, Moses is born. What do you do? The son is born. We know the edict. The boys are to be killed. Well, the parents, as we've indicated, act in faith. The Nile, that was a place of death under normal circumstances, becomes a provision of life. Under the edict, the Hebrew boys are to be thrown, cast into the river. Moses is carefully placed in the river. His mother makes a Moses basket, don't we call it? Well, it was bulrushes. It was all held together. It was pitched with kind of tar, as it were, or the equivalent, so that it was waterproof and it would float there among the bulrushes where she placed it. And there she waited. The word that is used of this basket is actually the word ark. It's the same word that's used to talk about Noah's ark that we have in the book of Genesis. The place of safety, the place where you were saved from the flood. Here's a little ark, a mini ark. But eight people were delivered in the big ark, plus the animals. Here in this little ark, floating around, one person will be saved and one will be delivered. And that will be Moses. And that comes out in the name that he's given. He's drawn out of the water. That's what Pharaoh's daughter says. We've got no mention of God in this passage. It's interesting. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, no mention of God, but he's all over the story. There's provision, there's protection, and there's a promise of God being realized. Sometimes we feel God's not in the picture of our lives. Where are you, God? What's happening? But these births that we're going to look at are telling us that God is right there in the picture. He's right with us, making the provision that we need. So with all that in mind, it's at some point that the daughter of Pharaoh comes to bathe in the river. Her entourage will be there to attend and protect her. Now, there could be any number of reasons for bathing there. I mean, you have to ask the question, was there not bathing facilities in the palace? Well, there's bound to be. She lived in opulence. She lived in wealth. There's enough baths and bathing places in the palace for her to wash there. So why go down to the local river? I mean, it would probably be, it's a bit of a silly picture, but can you imagine I kind of popped down to the seaside there, Seaforth, I've got my shower gel and shampoo, and into the Mersey I go and do all the business. Somebody says, "Well, what are you doing that for?" I said, "Haven't you got a shower at home?" Yeah, but I says, "I'm on a water meter, so I'm trying to save some money." But no, it's ludicrous. It's stupid. I mean, why is Pharaoh's daughter down the Nile bathing? Well, potentially, possibly, the Nile was certainly a very significant river in the life of the Egyptians and had kind of religious connotations. So it was sacred. So maybe the bathing was a religious ritual to some degree. And that becomes part of the moment. Why, and whatever reason that she's there, doesn't really matter. The fact is, she is there, and God is making a provision so that somebody could get saved on that day. So, she hears of this little boy, he's crying, there's this basket, go and find out what it is. And there is this little baby. She looks at the baby, and she's so impressed, and she wants to keep this baby. She knows it's a Hebrew baby. And suddenly Miriam, the sister to Moses, puts in an appearance and says, "Mate, can I get one of the Hebrew mothers to nurse the baby? An Egyptian would never nurse a Hebrew baby. It just wouldn't happen. So how's it going to be looked after?" "Well, I'll go and get somebody." And of course, here comes Mum. And so the Pharaoh's daughter says, "Listen, you look after this baby boy," and she's going to get state aid. She's got family allowance now as well, because she's going to get paid to look after her own son. Now, whether there's a suspicion that she would have known what was going on, we don't know. We just know that deliverance happens. Moses is saved. And the family have everybody at home. So Moses is taken home. That's important, not just because he gets weaned at home, but also he gets taught in the ways of the Hebrew people. Potentially about 9 or 10 would be the age when you would go to the palace to train, to be taught in the way of being a prince, because that's what Moses was now. He was a prince. He's gone from a pauper to a prince in just a moment, because he's become part of Pharaoh's family. The daughter is now going to be his mother, as it were. He will be legally adopted. But he spends his time at home learning the ways of the Hebrew people. There, these foundations are put in place before he will go off to the palace to learn about all of the Egyptian system that is part and parcel of the day. So Moses is delivered. He's spared and saved. Why? Because 80 years later, listen, 80 years later, he's going to be instrumental in delivering the nation from oppression, wickedness, and evil. Not going to happen quickly. 80 years. That's a few years, isn't it? But God's got a plan, and he's going to bring it about. Moses will be the mediator between God and the people so that freedom, liberty, and a future can be assured. Moses will take them out of Egypt, and he will take them to the borders of the new land that God's going to give them. So that being the case, all of that is provided for in this moment. But Moses points towards something else, doesn't he? The New Testament tells us that. And it points toward another birth. The comparisons and contrasts with Jesus' birth is not insignificant. Jesus will be spared the edict of infanticide also when Herod will say, "Kill all the boys." And other elements combine to identify with Moses. It's only a temporary deliverance for Jesus because, of course, he will die on the cross so that he can deliver from the tyranny of sin. He can deliver from death, and he can deliver from the oppressor Satan. It'll only be done by the cross. So here we are this morning as we come to a conclusion, and the message of hope reaches your ear and my ear today. You see, we are all under, as the nation was under physical oppression, we're under spiritual oppression, we're under sin. We need to be delivered, we need to be saved, we need to be rescued. It's God alone that can do that, and does it in Christ. So let us, by faith this morning, come and seek forgiveness of sin, so we may be in a right relationship with God. So we began with the need of hope. Just hope at a virus level, hope at an economic level, hope just at daily living level. This is hope for our spiritual lives, for eternity, which is far more important than just the moments that we live in today. And Christ offers hope, because hope is born. Well, may God help us as we think about these things and continue with this, God willing, next week, looking at the life of Samuel. But we're going to sing just now our hymn before we finally conclude our service this morning. And Jenny and Kay are going to lead us as we sing the hymn from the squalor of our borrowed stable by the Spirit and a virgin's faith. I'm going to ask you to stand and let's just share together. Can't sing, but we share together as we look and listen.
From this squalor of a borrowed stable, by the Spirit and a virgin's faith, to the anguish and the shame of scandal, came the Saviour of the human race. But the skies were filled with the praise of heaven. Shepherds, listen as the angels tell of the gift of God come down to man at the dawning of
standing as we close in prayer. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's be seated. In a moment or two, you'll be able to exit the church, so a row at a time, just from the front to the back, just let the folks go out ahead of you, and just be mindful of the ongoing restrictions. Could I also remind you, which I should have done earlier, that God willing, next Sunday evening, we will be doing a Zoom evening service, a kind of carols at home. We'll be having a few carols, just Advent reflection, just spend a little while together. So you might want to set up your camera in front of your Christmas tree and just make it a little bit more whatever, and we can join in the moment and share together. We look forward to that, and may God help us as we do so. So thank you for being here this morning. Pray he'll bless you as you go to your homes and watch over you. So from the front row to the back, as and when. I'm going to just go through here. Thank you.